To China now, where they're enduring the longest heatwave since records began, with temperatures up over 40 degrees, rolling power cuts and rapidly drying out hydro power reservoirs. All of this against a background of COVID shutdowns and economic slowdown. I've been hearing more from James Palmer, who's deputy editor of the Washington-based foreign policy magazine in Washington, specialising in Chinese affairs.
So this is the longest heat wave in living memory, sort of since records began in 1961. It's gone on for over 60 days now, and it's left the south of the country really parched. It's every day it's pushing sort of 40, 41 degrees Celsius. One of the worst impacts has been in Sichuan, which is a very big kind of southern province. And Sichuan, like a lot of Chinese provinces, is mostly dependent on hydropower. 80% of its energy comes from dams. So with the waters low because of the heat, the energy production is down sort of 7% or so. And at the same time, the energy usage because of air conditioning and so on is up 20%. So they're facing the possibility of blackouts. They've started to close energy-intensive factories in 19 out of 21 cities. And on top of this, we're seeing an impact on crops as well. There were already fears that the harvest this year wasn't going to be good because there was some supply disruption at the start of the year due to the lockdowns in Shanghai. Shanghai is such a massive hub, a massive logistical center, and that prevented seed from going to the fields where it was needed because the warehouses were often locked down and trucks had a very difficult time getting in and out of Shanghai. So this is sort of added to these existing problems you have with the economy at the moment.
So in terms of the blackouts at the moment, it's bad for people that will struggle with that. But is there a risk of food shortages?
No, China really values food self-sufficiency because it has such a bad history of famine. It actually keeps pretty substantial stocks. So you're not going to see food shortages as such. What you're going to see is a rise in prices and a public that's very, very sensitive to food inflation. The Communist Party tracks it really closely as a result. And so this sort of creates like a political worry that higher prices are going to be passed on to people, often people who are still living quite marginal kind of lives, because even though parts of China are developed, parts of China are rich, a lot of China is still, a rural developing economy.
And you mention as well the zero COVID policy and ongoing lockdowns. What impact is that having both socially and economically?
It's created a lot of uncertainty. And economically, we've seen just dire statistics across the board. Youth unemployment is at 20%. GDP growth so far this year is at 2.5%, which is the kind of number that, is good for or okay for a developed economy, but is bad for a developing economy. Like it's almost the equivalent of sort of recession in a developed economy. So, underpinning this is that people are just not willing to take any risk because you never know when the next lockdown may come. I mean, I think we all remember what it was like in sort of March, April 2020, when we just didn't know what was going to happen. Now the lockdowns are so sweeping and the need to maintain zero COVID so politically pressing that pretty much the whole of the Chinese public lives in this kind of half state of like, will I be able to go out next month? If I go on holiday, is the whole city going to be locked down? Am I going to be stuck am I going to be stuck elsewhere for another 3 or 4 weeks, not able to get back to my job? If I open a new restaurant, are restaurants even going to be allowed? Is indoor dining going to be allowed? So this constant uncertainty and also no sense of like a timeline of when this might end.
And how is the Chinese Communist Party coping with this trio of crises, the heat wave, COVID and the economy?
So right now, the Communist Party is in this very tense state because it's the run-up to the 20th Party Congress, which takes place sometime most likely in October or November. And this is a big party congress because it's the one at which Xi Jinping almost certainly gets an official third term. And no leader's really had that since Deng Xiaoping, who maintained power for a very long time in various ways. She already broke the norms on that, but solidifying this, like he changed the constitution a few years ago. solidifying this third term means a lot of political bargaining, a lot of really securing his power, a lot of using the security forces against his enemies. So everybody is very tense inside the party already, and the energy is kind of being directed towards these political struggles. Now, at the same time, they have this triple crisis, as you say, this economic crisis, and on top of that, an ongoing real estate crisis that has created kind of this massive economic bomb waiting to go off. That China was in essentially a long property bubble that's now deflating. And they're facing an angry public and lots of divisions within central and local government about who pays the costs for that angry public. When banks go under in Henan, does the local government pay for it? Does the central government pay for it? So I would say they're a little bit kind of almost panicky at the moment. And you can see that in some of the responses that they give overseas in what we call wolf warrior diplomacy, this very aggressive style of diplomacy now adopted by Chinese ambassadors and diplomatic staff worldwide. A lot of that is really defensive. It's about maintaining your own claims to nationalism because you're afraid of the political consequences if you don't. And we're seeing similar things like that playing out throughout the system, just this very brittle, fragile sense for individual officials of what might be next.
What does the proverb say? May you live in interesting times. They certainly are. James Palmer in Washington. Thank you.